Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre has been hosting hundreds of thousands of COVID vaccinations in place of meeting delegates and conventioneers. But CEO Peter King believes the centre will open sooner and with larger capacity than initially announced. He spoke to Graeme Kemlow this week.
Peter, I guess we owe you as Melburnians a debt of gratitude, because what you've managed to do in that centre has been quite remarkable during the pandemic. First, you were going to be the ICU for Melbourne, and that got very close to happening, and I think you talked to me only a few days before that idea changed. But then you've been the vaccination hub. So even though Melburnians have not been able to visit the centre for virtually 18 months, it has formed a pretty integral part of our fight against COVID.
Yeah, Graeme, we're really proud of that. You know, we're a very important part of the community, the fabric of Melbourne, and for us to be able to open up the space to get hundreds of thousands of people vaccinated is, yeah, as you said, we can't do our normal jobs, but being able to facilitate that's been a huge exercise and one that's been really beneficial to the people of Melbourne, which is great.
Yeah, now I know we jam a bit of MCEC down the throats of our listeners here on Travel Writers Radio, mostly talking about business events and how you host meetings and conventions and exhibitions, etc. here in Melbourne. How many people would typically pass through the centre in an average year? Obviously, this was not an average year, but say 2019. How many would have gone through the centre?
We probably get about 3.5 million people through the place in 12 months.
Right.
So a lot of the public, it's a public access as well, but it's also obviously all the visitors and all the attendees of all the different events. So it's a pretty busy place.
And what percentage would be from business events versus, say, leisure or consumer activity?
I think delegates to conferences is around about 800,000,
right,
out of that 3 million. So okay, the rest of it's a lot of public exhibitions or, you know, entertainment, concerts, festivals, do a lot of graduations and things like that.
Right. So the Victorian public actually probably has greater use of it than its original purpose.
Yeah, look, it was probably originally, you know, the whole economics behind a convention centre like this is international visitation largely, and that's obviously incredibly important because that just fills the restaurants and fills the bars and fills the hotels of Melbourne when, you know, you've got 800,000 potential delegates coming from around interstate and overseas. But yeah, I think we, as the business evolves, it really is more about Melbourne and more about Victoria and being a place for people to gather. So it's got a much broader community perspective. I think we do a lot of things with charity partnerships as well. So those type of things. I think one of the four sort of key pillars of our strategy is to work on what we're calling our impact. So what's our economic impact, our social impact, and we're working with the government and with the people of Melbourne to drive that. So, yeah, it has changed a bit since the original concept.
So do you think that the post-COVID scenario will have changed some of what you do forever?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. We're certainly looking at the customers and the potential partners. We had a very predictable business model before COVID. It was a really solid pipeline of business out for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Of 70-odd% of our business was repeat business. And so it was very predictable, and we knew how to run it to maximise the benefits. And but we see the world very differently now. A lot of the partnerships and relationships we're going to have are going to be different. There's going to be, opportunities for joint ventures and all sorts of things that we think commercially will be a different prospect to the way we've done business in the past.
Do you feel like you're in a position to safely bring large convention crowds back? And you've got a 6,000-seat plenary theatre, for example.
Yes.
I know there's a limit on that at the moment of about 150, but do you think you'll get back to every seat with a backside on it?
Oh, yeah, that's not too far away, I don't think. We've even just this morning had some really positive conversations with the government. The Premier yesterday made some announcements around some of the big events, music events and sporting events, the racing carnival coming up.
Yep, 10,000 at the Melbourne Cup, yep.
10,000 at the Melbourne Cup. So I think the restrictions, especially of a, we're a significant venue, obviously, in Melbourne with the scale and the scope of the spaces that we've got. So I think the restrictions are going to be altered pretty quickly. And
right.
I think we'll be back to business a little bit earlier than we thought. And probably at a scale that's a little bit bigger than we thought a few weeks ago. So that's really positive.
Well, that's great. I love some of the things you did while you were unable to continue your normal pursuits, like the drive-in theatre that you operated. That was pretty tricky.
Yeah, that was a bit of fun. That was a really good relationship with Village, actually, and they want to pursue that potentially in some... if we can get some gaps in, especially around school holidays times, but yeah, that was a great initiative, and it allowed our guys to do things a little bit differently, and we got a whole lot of people into the place that wouldn't normally come and visit.
So for those who didn't see it, you're able to drive your vehicle into what would have been exhibition space, and sit. I think it was all marked up as to where you could park, and it was like being in the drive-in, right?
Exactly.
You wound your windows down, though. You had one big speaker system rather than an individual one in each vehicle, right?
No, you tuned it in on your car radio.
Oh, FM, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so just tuned in the radio, and we had a massive screen in there, and we were providing drinks and food to the cars. And,
yeah.
But, you know, it allowed you to do a 10 o'clock session and an 11, 12, you know, whatever it was, three or four sessions during the day and then into the evening. Whereas, normally a drive-in cinema experience doesn't start till it gets dark.
No. So you might repeat that, eh?
Yeah, no, it was good.
Well, I think that's a great idea, Peter. Well, I know you're a busy man because you're gearing up to get back to full strength there. You've got 1,000-odd staff normally at the centre. Are you calling them all back in?
Realistically, between now and Christmas, we won't be doing a lot of major or big events, but certainly probably, as I said a minute ago, a bit bigger than we thought. But really, it'll kick off in February and March next year is when we see the real activation of the events industry coming back into full swing.
Right. I know you've got one of the largest commercial kitchens in Melbourne, maybe even in Australia. I don't know. Where's that at right now?
Look, one of the things we did, we were doing some wholesale food production. So we had an arrangement with a company called Flinders & Co. who produce made-up meals for Coles and for some of the other chains, grocery chains. And mm-hmm. so we were making up meals for them. So we've been doing that probably for the last 8 or 9 months.
Right.
So that's kept a little bit of activity in the kitchens. And they're also doing a bit of preparation around new menus for next year and things like that. So they'll swing back into gear very quickly.
I know your little cafes are quite popular with people who work in the surrounding area. And are they going to be back running shortly?
Yes. Yep. We've already got one of them's running in conjunction with the vaccination centre. So that was a great little initiative. We offered people the opportunity to buy forward. So anyone who's buying a cup of coffee could buy a cup of coffee for one of the nurses or the doctors who are associated with the vaccination centre. So we had, hundreds and hundreds of cups of coffee that were bought for the nurses. So
you got a lot to drink,
out.
Peter.
So it was fantastic. Yeah. We're also setting up, we've got this thing called The Loom, which we're very excited about, which is a digital art facility that we've done in partnership with a company called Grande Exhibitions, who's a local Melbourne company. And that's opening as soon as we can, early in November by the looks of things. And we've got a new cafe that we've built inside that facility to support that as well. So it's going to be very exciting.
So details of that event are online, I guess, Peter?
Yeah, it's called The Loom, L-U-M-E, and it's going to be an incredible experience for anyone in Melbourne and also from a tourist perspective. And we'll use it to be able to hold gala dinners and product launches and things as well. So it'll be an event space, but it's an incredible digital experience.
Okay, so, and a family event?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. The first one is Van Gogh. It's an art experience with Van Gogh, but they'll be doing other things further down the track. But okay. We're very, very excited about that one.
Well, sounds great, Peter. Well, it'll be good to have the centre back in full swing from a business events perspective, but also for the concerts, your boutique sort of concerts that you put on.
Yes.
And some of the trade fairs that run there, the giftware area, I know you do one, and I think just personal finance and a few things. So it'd be good to see the engine room back fired up for the city of Melbourne.
Very keen. Everyone's very excited about this prospect of getting back to business again, so looking forward to it.
Well, thanks for chatting with us at Travel Writers Radio, Peter.
Pleasure.
Graham Kemlow was speaking with Peter King, CEO of Melbourne's Convention and Exhibition Centre.
This is the Travel Writers Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.